Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. I miss you.
I miss you as well. It's really hard, isn't it?
I'm like aging this end with grey hairs and a moustache. I actually looked at myself in the mirror and thought, oh, fuck. That's a moustache that I need to bleach. And it's been that long since I've seen you that I feel like when I know that I'm seeing you, I do all my beauty like...
Oh, is that what you're going to do? You're going to have all your stuff done?
Yeah.
Be like a Eileen woman?
Because every time I look at you on video, I'm like, oh, her hair. It's like you've stepped out of a salon every day.
Oh, it's not Mate. True. It's all a myth. Do you know what I do? I just curl the front bits. The back bit is like a bird's nest. That's the reality of it. I just do the front couple of pieces and that's it. So
that is a really good beauty tip though for anyone listening. Just do the front, don't worry about the back.
Just for the zooms, yeah, don't worry about the back.
Amazing. How was your weekend?
Okay, yeah, it was nice. I spoke about this on Instagram this morning and we've chatted about it, but like I had tears at school, you know, before school today, and it's like the first time we've had that, like I don't want to go to school and all of this. And it basically turned out that there is someone at school who is trying to punch Axel, and it really puts me in such a weird position. Like I don't know what to do. Like if it was me, I'd probably want the parent to approach me just so that I knew. Like I mean, I'm not saying no kids are bad at four. Do you know what I mean? You know, I'm not writing off a child and saying he's bad, but like, I'd want to know if Axel did something like that so I could talk to him about it.
I think it's a really hard one because, you know, if Axel's saying a child, you know, a kid at school's trying to punch me, you have to obviously listen to it. But at the same time, it might be, you know, giving Axel a dead arm, which is what Kit did to another. Like, no, but I mean, we're laughing, but like Kit did punch a little girl in the arm at his preschool last week, and I got pulled into another room by the preschool, and she was really lovely about it. She was like, look, you know, I sat him next to somebody who was really docile, who's really placid, and I knew that there wasn't going to be any problems because he is a bit boisterous, Kit, and apparently he just turned around and punched her, and like, that is not okay, it's not good. I was very upset about it, and I said, look, should I speak to her mum? And it was a little girl as well. I was, you know, it doesn't matter, boy, girl, it's all bad. But I said, should I speak to her mum? And she said, look, no, don't worry, like, we're handling it. They did take it seriously, but it was more like he like punched out and then went like psh, like that. I can't, he wasn't like, you know, right, put him up, let's have a fist fight. But it all needs to be addressed, otherwise you don't know where it can go.
And that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, I mean, I always err on the side of like, is he making it up? Do you know what I mean? I'm always like, is this true? Is this not true? And I did speak to a couple of other parents and they've had similar issues.
Right.
And so then you're like, right, okay, this is true. You know, this is a thing. This isn't like Axel just deciding today didn't want to go to school. And it's just really difficult when things like that happen. It's like a whole nother thing to navigate.
Lots of people on Instagram have said that you should go to the teacher.
Go to the teacher
and then they can speak to the parent and figure it out, or speak to the kids that, you know, the two of them that are involved and have a chat with them and figure it out. Because most of the time, a conversation and then it's kind of done, but
it's
you don't know.
Exactly. It's just a weird one, isn't it? You know, things take you by surprise like all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's just the new thing that I haven't had to deal with before.
That's life and parenting.
That's life. I knew we were going to get a song in there today.
Well, I'm really excited about today's chat because this was actually recorded a few weeks back. This is part of our Baby Show Live that we were involved with. We were obviously the official podcast partner for the Baby Show. And, you know, through that collaboration, we got to chat to two amazing women, one of which is Binky Felsted. She's coming in a bit, not this episode. But today's episode, we're going to be chatting to Danny Dyer. And what I love about her is that I feel like we've watched her grow up on screen. You know, when she was on Love Island, I was absolutely engrossed in that series. Yeah, I really did.
Me too.
I really did spend a lot of time watching it. And, you know, and then she's become a mum and she's still, you know, relatively young, and she was so lovely, wasn't she, on the chat? Normal, down to earth. Yeah,
and just, you know, facing the same problems that we all do, you know, when we become mums for the first time. And I don't know, it's just really nice to hear those stories and how much, you know, support she gets from her mum, and just felt like we were having a chat with a mate, really, didn't it? And she's just very, you know, very open and just said exactly how it is.
There was one moment, sorry to interrupt you, but there was one moment where she went, you know what, my mates asked me the other day, like, how are you sleeping? It's like, sleeping like shit. And I was just like, yeah.
Exactly. She's just saying exactly how it is. She's like, I haven't got one of those kids that sleeps. So yes, don't know about anyone who has, but I haven't, and I'm definitely not sleeping. So yes, it's a great chat and I really think you guys will enjoy it. So let's get into it.
So we are very, very, very excited today, as this chat has been brought to you in collaboration with The Baby Show. And Georgia and I have both watched this lady as she kind of burst onto our screens. We watched her daily in Love Island. Now she's gone on to be a mum in the last 4 weeks to Santiago. And she's kind of making us fall in love with that newborn bubble all over again by showing us all these kind of just, I guess, the real moments of what happens in the very early stages of being a mum. Please, let's give a very warm welcome. Well, the two of us will, to Danny Dyer. Hello.
Hello.
Danny, the first question, how are you?
I'm okay. It feels nice to actually be, I feel like I'm in a work environment. It's quite nice to be fair. I've been in such a baby bubble. It is incredible, but it's very tiring. It's very tiring.
And where is he now? Is it, I mean, it's, I know what it was like. It's hard to just drag yourself away even for like 10 minutes, isn't it? In the first few weeks.
Oh yeah. I've literally cried. He's with my mum. My mum's took him on a little walk. He loves the fresh air. I know if he's crying, as soon as I put him in the pram and he goes out, he's like just lazy. He knows what he's doing. Honestly, he is me. He's a diva.
Already? I love
he
that.
He is. He knows what he's doing.
You had us in stitches this morning, Danny, because you were talking about the fact that you can't put Santi down. And it took me and Georgia right back to those first, you know, couple of months where you can't do anything. You can't eat your food. You can't go for a wee.
No.
It's a nightmare.
Oh yeah, literally, he's been in the toilet with me, like, because we won't go into it. And I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. And then I didn't want to leave him downstairs, so I'm literally like put him on the changing mat and he's just staring at me, and I'm like, this is a little bit weird now.
No, get used
you
to
learn
that,
to wipe your bum with one hand.
Also, bless him, he'd never forgive me when he's older. But at the minute, that's all he wants. He, like, every time I go to put him down and I think, yes, I can like sleep now, oh no, he doesn't let me. I don't even tease myself with sleep in the day now.
Oh, how's the sleeping?
I really wish I was that woman that was like, yeah, he sleeps. Like when he come out of my womb, he was sleeping 10 till 7. You know, you get them like women. I'm not that woman. Like he's literally up every 3 hours.
It's really tough.
Yeah, by the time I get him to sleep, that's like 40 minutes. And then it's like 2 hours of me being woken up.
Do you know
that was
what?
Incredible.
he's been inside you. We kind of forget this, that they've been inside you for nearly 10 months. And then we expect them, when they come out, we expect them to be like, you know, just to know how to go through the night and to know how to take a bottle or take a boob. And it's like for them, it's so new, right? As well as it is for us.
I know it is. And it is just the sleep thing, because I think sleep deprivation is like a form of torture, isn't it?
Yeah.
But when you're tired, when you're so tired, but how is he supposed to know?
Exactly. That's the thing, is they call it the fourth trimester, and it really is the fourth trimester, because they haven't got a clue what's going on. They're just like brand new. They've been inside your tummy, like all warm and cozy, and like just being fed, not really having to do anything.
Yeah, that's great.
All of a sudden they come out.
Yeah, that, And I miss him being in my belly. You know what it was? Because I knew in my belly he was safe. Like, even me leaving the door, I'd be like, right, I need to be on my guard now. You know, but I knew he was protected in there. But now he's here, it's like, oh my God, I've really got to protect him now. I've got to keep him alive. It's scary. The first few days, I was petrified of him.
Yeah, that's again, that doesn't go away, and the sort of dramas just get slightly bigger. Like, you want to let them go off and explore, and you've got to kind of let them figure out the big bad world. But at the same time, you're like, don't fall off that wall, don't trip over there, don't go too fast on your scooter, and then you become somebody that says stop, slow down all the time.
That's what I mean. I've got it all to come over now.
Danny, this is your first chat since having Santi. So we kind of wanted to take you back to the moment that you found out that you were pregnant and what that journey was like for you.
Oh, you know what? It was a shock, really. I think me and Sammy always sort of know, you know what you're doing. Do you know what I mean? You know what you're doing. And it was a bit of a random surprise. And it was just so overwhelming for us. It was like, I was like, oh, I remember he was downstairs. He was playing on FIFA, obviously. And I was upstairs and I thought, oh, I'm going to take a pregnancy test. I'm going to take one. You know, like every time you're late on your period, you're pregnant. And that was that sort of thing. And I remember going, babe, I'm pregnant. And he went, I didn't even tell him I was going to take the test. I didn't even tell him. And then he just ran and he looked at me and he was like, really? The game console in his hands. And I was like, yeah. And then that was it. It was such an exciting time for us. It was like instantly I was like, oh, what do I do now? You know, but it's very scary. The first few months I was petrified.
Yeah.
Absolutely petrified of everything.
And so you obviously said it was a bit of a surprise, but you knew what you were doing. Did you always want to, you know, have a baby in your 20s? Is it something you'd thought about or, you were with Sammy, you're in a good place and you just thought, why not now or never?
I think I've always just loved babies. I think since I was like 16, I was very maternal. You know, I was always around a baby. And I think it was always, if it happens, it happens, you know. And with Sammy, we was in a good place. And it was just, I think it wasn't so much of a plan, but it was almost, if I do fall pregnant, then that's fine. Do you know what I'm saying? But I think when I did fall pregnant, we were still shocked. And it was like, my mum was like, what app was you using, Dan? Because you know, like you use them like flow apps, you know, like when you say you're ovulating. And I was like, oh, I'm not, I won't get pregnant in this little gap. And then she was like, oh, you're at work then, didn't it? I was like, oh, Mum, for God's sake.
Mum, can we stop talking about this now, please, Mum? Yeah, this is too much detail, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. When she wants to go into detail, I'm like, no, Mum, this is a little bit embarrassing, even though my mum and dad are so open with me. But, yeah, I always wanted a baby young because my mum and dad did have me young and they're like my best friends. So it is nice.
How did they take the news?
I think at first I was, like, quite shocked because I think sometimes, you know, you sort of talk about it, that you're planning for a baby, but I'm always quite secretive. I sort of keep things to myself and all that. And it wasn't so much we were planning. So it was like, but it was so random. And I remember just going around and I was like, I didn't want to tell my mum straight away, but then I did end up telling her anyway. So I sort of sat there and then she was like, you look different. And I was just like, yeah, my mum's pregnant. And that was it. And then she was like, okay, but I didn't want to tell my dad until the scan and stuff. But my mum was like, you need all your support around you because it is such a scary time. And I was so worried. And my dad didn't realize though, like, he's been so emotional now around Santi. Like, he literally the other day he was nearly crying. He was like, I love babies and that, like, obviously people's babies. And he's like, but your baby, I've never felt anything like, I didn't think I'd feel like this. I don't think he ever, because he's not experienced being a granddad yet. So obviously I've made him first time granddad. So for him, I think he's hitting more now because he just sort of see me pregnant and all that, getting bigger. And then for him, then seeing me with a baby, he's like, okay, this is real now.
It's lovely to see the reaction of your parents with your child, like that grandparent love that they and the relationship that they can have with your son or daughter. Like, it's magical, isn't it? Like, my mum was never really that maternal with me and my sister, but seeing her with my kids, it's like heart explosion. She's finally got a nice role that she can like look after them, but then she can give them back at the end of the day. She's all right with that.
Yeah. I think that's what it is.
I was talking to this with my mum the other day, because I was saying the thought of looking after someone else's children gives me the fear. Like, I wouldn't want to do that. I really wouldn't. I'm like, mum, when do you get to that place where like you want to look after like someone else's children and you want to do everything? And she was
except
like,
for mine, Georgia.
Yeah, she doesn't want to look after yours. She was like, it's because you have a break. So you have that love, you know, you have your children and then they leave you and then you want them back. So then you don't get them back, but you get their children.
Yeah, that must be what it is. It is true, because my mum's like that now. Like, my mum is so, she's not really an affectionate person. She's always been like the hardcore one. You know, if you're crying, she's like, no, pick yourself up. But the way she is with this baby is crazy. Like, I'll ring her and I'm like, oh, mum, do you want to pop round? Yeah, I'm round. She's like literally round this morning. She's like, I'm going to take him on a walk. I'm going to take him. She's like, oh, we'll go with the baby mum groups. I'm like, okay, mum. She is obsessed with him. And I've never, it is, it must be so different. Because my nan used to say, she was like, I love my grandkids more than I love my own kids. I'm like, nan.
My mum says the same thing. My mum says exactly the same thing. It's brilliant. Tell us about your pregnancy. And did you experience any morning sickness? And how were you kind of in those last sort of few weeks before you popped?
At the beginning, I just felt like I was constantly hungover. Like, I wasn't sick, but I just had the nausea, the migraines. I've never experienced headaches like that before, and you can't really take anything for it either to help. So it was just, and I felt like I was being that girl that was like, oh, I've got a headache, and you know, like them people that really moan all the time, but I just couldn't get out of bed. So it was, that was really tough. And I did have a lot of aches and pains. So I did have to stop with the Google, because then that started worrying me. And towards the end, you know what, towards the end, I loved being pregnant. The beginning I hated, because I genuinely constantly felt like something was wrong, because my placenta was at the front. I didn't feel the baby kick like I should have done. So I was always wanting to go get another. The amount of scans I had, honestly, every time I'd have a scan, I'd get like a scan picture on the wall. And then in the end, I was like, okay, this looks weird now. Like, I look like some completely obsessed woman. I was like, I'm going to have to take a couple down. I was always worried about like the baby. Like, obviously, was he okay? But towards the end, I mean, he was really active. He just booted me all night. This is why he doesn't sleep now. So towards the end, I loved it. But then I was like, oh, I want him to come. I want to know what, because I didn't know the gender.
You didn't know the gender?
I didn't know. I didn't know if it was a boy or girl.
Oh, wow. That's so nice. Did you do any like classes? I know we've obviously been in lockdown, but did you do like any antenatal classes or like birthing classes or anything like that?
You know what? I did a little bit of yoga at the beginning, but I really struggled. Like, now I've sort of wish we had like the baby mum classes. Now I'm sort of like, I really want mums to speak to, just to like be on a level with, you know, because everyone, most of my friends have had babies, but I feel like when you're sort of in the same trimester as a woman and you can sort of talk to each other, then you think, oh, okay, that's normal. I'm glad their baby's doing that as well, you know, because especially on social media, you do sometimes see this perfect baby and perfect mum, and then you start thinking, oh, should I be doing that? Whereas before the antenatal classes, I was like, do I really need them? I probably don't need them, do I? But I actually wish we did have that more now, like, because I feel like maybe I would have been more prepared to actually, because I didn't realise baby blues and, you know, how I would feel. And I'm quite one of them that's like, oh, I'll live in the moment, but I think you should always be a little bit prepared.
Yeah,
agreed. And do you have like a WhatsApp group of mates who are maybe in similar situations to you, other mums, or is that the hole that's kind of missing, that you can bounce kind of concerns off, and those like 3 a.m. Google searches where you're like, why is the poo that colour?
I've definitely become that. And there's like a few apps that I use an app called Peanut. That's really good.
Yeah, we love Peanut,
because that's like with a woman, with loads of women on the same space, and that really helps me, because Google isn't always the answer. Even like with ounces, I'm like, should my baby be drinking this amount? And then it'll be like, no, it should be drinking this. So, and I am such a I'm not a control freak, but I am a little bit crazy, and I was a bit like, I'm going to stay away from that a little bit, because every baby is different, every child.
Absolutely. We'll be right back after the short break.
Hi, I'm Vernon Kay.
And I'm Holly Mackay.
And we're here to tell you about our brand new podcast, Parenting Past the Pandemic, brought to you by Aviva.
Yes, we're going to be delving into a whole heap of parenting topics, from the generational gap to online safety.
and some of the big topics which have come up through the pandemic, such as helping to manage our kids' anxieties and how we can affect the world they'll grow into.
Parenting Past the Pandemic. Find it wherever you found this podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So, welcome back. Back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Where were we?
And tell us a little bit about the feeding journey. You mentioned that you've been breastfeeding. And
we've got to talk about the birth.
No, yeah, we're skipping. Right, let's talk about birth first.
The birth, okay. How was the birth? You know what? My birth really wasn't. I didn't have a birth plan or anything like that. Because nothing ever goes to plan with me. And it didn't really go the way I wanted it to. Like, I really wanted a natural birth, like a natural labour, and you know, my waters break, and a few hours later the baby's arrived. Like, that's how I genuinely thought. But no, it was really difficult. My waters broke the night before, and obviously the contractions and all that sort of started, but then they slowed down. Then I had to be put on the drip because obviously for dilating and stuff, and I just wasn't dilating enough for him to come out. So every time I was contracting, he was coming back up, because then we then realized that the umbilical cord was wrapped around him. So I ended up having to have an emergency C-section, which I really didn't want. I don't know what it was. It's actually sort of, now I look back and I'm like, Dan, I know it was only 4 weeks ago, but I've really grown in a month on the fact that I thought, like, as a woman, you should be able to, like, I felt like my body failed me. That's what it was. Like, why can't my body let me naturally have a baby? And I was so upset with myself and really beat myself up about it. Oh, I can't believe I had a C-section. I was so upset. And because the baby blues were there as well, yeah. I was just crying, like, for a whole week. And I was like, Mum, why am I crying so much? She was like, Dan, it's fine. You're going through the baby blues. And then I sort of started accepting when I spoke about how I felt about having a C-section. So many women related to it. And I felt a bit bad saying it, because I didn't want women to think that I felt that they were failures, but it was my own thing.
Yeah.
And then now I'm like, Danny, you've got a scar there. Like, you've given birth to an amazing, healthy baby. And as long as he's healthy and happy, then that's all that matters. And I'm glad I've got to that point, because the first week I was like looking at myself and I hated myself. It's so bad.
I mean,
it's so bad.
We hate hearing that off you, but you know what? I feel like it's quite normal. My issue with this, and I actually think it's a really interesting subject, is that they prepare you by saying to you, right, you need to get a birthing plan together, and you need to have an idea in your head of how it's going to go. But and I know that there are so many amazing positive birthing stories, and that's why Georgia and I love hearing about birth, because everyone is so different. But I don't feel that they necessarily prepare you when you're birthing plan goes off course, and then kind of leaves you feeling slightly, like you said, I mean, thinking that your body failed you. That's so upsetting to hear, because your body did the most incredible thing in the world. It just didn't exit it in the way that you thought it was going to.
I know, and that's the thing with birth plans. You're so right. I don't think they're always like necessary, because if it does go wrong, you're only going to hate yourself for it. You can't plan something like that. It's not like planning your weekly food shop, is it?
No.
You know, you've got to actually, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, do you know what? And the amount of women that we speak to who feel exactly the same as you do, we've both felt it, you know? We went into our first labour, like not having a clue, like, what was going to happen. Yeah. And it definitely didn't go how we pictured. And it does, I think it takes a while to kind of get your head around that. And then, like you say, the more people you speak to, you realise we're all in the same boat. Like everyone, nothing is ever perfect. Nothing ever goes exactly to plan. And yeah, like you say, as long as they're happy and healthy, doesn't really matter, does
That's all that matters. And I think it's also just breaking away that like too posh to push. So that quote that people like to say, isn't it? Like that's what they say. And I was like, I think that was a lot harder because the recovery has been tough, you know. You can't do it. It was horrible not to be able to, like when I was so like paralysed.
Yeah.
And I was so numb and I couldn't even pick the baby up, you know. That was really difficult. But you know what, now I think any woman that has a C-section, just like take it easy on yourself, you know, and get the help if you can get it.
Mm-hmm. What is the recovery looking like for you, Dan? Because you're only 6 weeks postpartum. So how's the scar? How's your body feeling? And how are you sort of feeling in yourself, I guess, with the baby blues?
You know what? I feel a lot better in myself now. Like all the crying and stuff has actually stopped. but I feel so much better. It's nice to be able to, I know it sounds silly, like Hoover. I don't know what I'm like.
What?
You're talking to the right person. Georgia loves hoovering, by the way.
I love a clean home. I'm really one of them clean home, clean mind. Like if I'm stressed, I have to clean or something like that. So it's nice to be able to get up now. I couldn't laugh, girls. When you obviously you can't laugh, it hurts so much. And my mum come and stayed with me to help, and she's very funny. She doesn't mean to be, and I used to have to hold my belly and laugh, and I'm like, my laugh's been taken away from me.
No.
I couldn't laugh. You can't really. Yeah, there's a lot of things, but. You feel like you're not going to get better, but you really do. I still have to take it. I can't go to the gym for another couple of months.
No one can, Dan. You're all right. It's not open yet.
Yeah. I miss the gym. Yeah, but by the time everything's open again, I'm not going to be bikini body ready. Like, I'm literally not.
No one is.
No one is.
Swimming
don't worry about that.
All the way, girls. Swimming costumes. I swear on a rope.
So tell us how the feeding's going now. We've chatted about birth. How, because this, I found this the biggest struggle. I thought you had a baby, you put them on your boob and then they just fed and that was it. I thought that's what happened. So tell us how it's been for you.
That was genuinely me. I remember when he first latched onto the boob and stuff and I was like, oh, there's yellow stuff coming out. Like I couldn't believe that my body could do that. But it was really difficult for me. I'm not impatient, but I do worry quite a lot anyway. I've always been like that. And I just felt like he wasn't ever content or ever really happy. And I know they say every woman can produce the same amount of milk, but I just don't believe that because I've seen like my best friend, her sister, the milk that was coming out of her when she was expressing once. I was like, oh my God, that's it. That's so easy. What, that much milk comes out. I tried and I tried. I've expressed. I just wasn't giving him enough. And I know midwives and all that say, you have to keep putting him on there, you know, your body will produce it. But I was getting so upset. I was just losing. I felt like that's all I was talking about. You know, like when you become so obsessed with something, I was like obsessed with breast milk. It was like stupid. And my mum was like, Dan, chill out. Like if it's not working for you this time, it might work on your next baby. Like enjoy him. And I wasn't enjoying it because I felt like, he wasn't happy, I wasn't happy. And you know, when they're like, Dan, he's not hungry. He was hungry because like I give him like a ready-made milk and he down it like I've never fed him before. But I was like, clearly this, you know, I'm gonna have to do it. So I have been giving him formula. I need to sort of still find the right formula for him because he's not really settling yet. But I was gutted in my brain. I was gonna do it for like 6 months, like exclusively breastfeed, but it just hasn't panned out that way.
Both Georgia and I also felt that sort of, you know, you said I was gutted. Like I remember the first time I gave some formula milk to Luna. I can't even believe I'm saying this, but I cried. Yeah. I cried when I gave it to her. I was like, I'm poisoning her. How ridiculous. Yeah. That is how our mind works. Because it's not a shame thing. Don't get me wrong. It's like, I'm always fed his best. But in my head, I'd built up this thing from what I'd seen online and conversations that I'd had with people about, you know, you've got to breastfeed, you've got to breastfeed, you've got to breastfeed. It's like, we've just got to do what's right for our babies. That's all it is.
Absolutely.
I couldn't agree more because even like my nan's generation and stuff, I remember thinking, I bet they all breastfed. And yeah, I sort of didn't want to tell my nan. I thought my nan would be, you know, like that sort of age. And she was like, I never breastfed.
Yeah.
So I never did any of that. And a lot of her friends, they never breastfed. So I was like, oh, that makes me feel better because I thought, because I feel like breastfeeding now, I love, is so spoken about and so many people do it. And I kept thinking, why can't I be that girl? I want to be that girl that can do it and, you know, deal with it. But I think you're right. Fedi's best at the end of the day. And you never know, my next baby, it might go to plan.
Yeah. Exactly.
She's talking about her next baby already, George. I
know. Not yet. Oh, not yet. I need some gin and tonics. I really do.
Need a night out. Well, we've got June 21st. It's in the diary.
And hopefully he'll be like sleeping by then. So the thought of drinking out and waking up every 2 hours, no. No way.
No, that's the night you call your mum and you go, yeah, exactly. See you later. Bye.
Yeah. Oh, darling, I'll put your little suitcase. Off you go.
Did you ever have the opportunity to breastfeed Santi outside of the house? You know, because I imagine obviously we've obviously been in lockdown for nearly a year now, in and out of that. So the last 4 weeks, were you kind of battling with it at home on your own?
Yeah. I think being in lockdown, I didn't realise how much it affected me until I think when you have a baby. I know it sounds silly, but you think because we can't go out, you can't really do anything, you can't break the day up. And I was indoors with him. The weather wasn't great. And he's sort of been on my boobs for like 2.5 hours. And I'm like, oh my God, like, is this it? You know, am I never going to be able to do it? But I think going outside and breastfeeding, so many women do it, but I just feel like I wouldn't ever feel comfortable to breastfeed in public. I know it sounds really weird, but if I see a woman do it, I would, good on you. Do you know what I mean? You're feeding your baby. Like, my mum is like, if people think that's wrong, then more for them. But I feel like for my own personal thing, I wouldn't do it. It's weird, yeah. Isn't it?
No, do you know what? Weird. I felt the same. With my second, Gigi, I breastfed for a bit longer, actually, and I found it a lot easier. But the public thing, I didn't find that easy. And one time I had, you know, one of those giant muslins?
Oh, yeah.
So I had it, like, basically over my whole self.
Like a tent.
Yeah, and my son was going, it's a ghost, it's a ghost. And all I did was draw more attention to myself. Yeah, literally, I just drew, and really, I could have just, like, quickly whipped it out, and no one would have noticed. But instead, I was sat under a big tent.
Because you use a muslin anyway when you give them a bottle, don't you? You always put it under them.
Yeah.
I think it's just a confidence thing, isn't it? It's all in your brain. Like, you should do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And what about formula? How is he getting on with formula? You said you're having a few issues trying to find the right one. What's going on?
Well, he really likes the Actimel ready-made bottles. Was taking to them fine. But obviously, I'm not a tight person at all. Do you know what I mean? I would give my child everything. But I thought, my mum was like, Dan, they're very expensive. And I was like, they are, actually, they are. To be fair. They're really expensive. And she was like, get the powder. Oh, he won't drink the powder. Honestly, he will not. And he's really not happy with it at the moment. I think I've been cursed because I don't drink tap water. I only drink bottles. So I feel like I've been cursed now. So for a child, he doesn't do powder. No, he wants it all ready made.
My daughter was exactly the same. She's now 18 months and I have to froth her milk on the coffee. I'm
not joking. Ridiculous.
I still do it now. It's a joke. It's a complete joke.
They say they're the same, the powder and the ready made, but clearly they're not. They're clearly not the same.
He's got a refined palate, clearly.
Yeah, clearly.
He knows what he likes.
He doesn't want it because I know he's thirsty, and then he like grabs his face and he makes such a noise, and then he just sort of spits it all out, and he's pooed it all out, and I'm like, oh God.
Oh God.
Like, yeah. We're going to have to see what happens.
It's probably nice, I guess, for you to have Sammy around as well a lot. Like, how is he as a dad? How's he getting on with everything? And is he taking to it like a duck to water?
You know what? He loves it. Because I remember we was both so scared. I was like, I don't know how to sterilise a bottle. I don't know how to change a nappy. And we both was so in the same. But he's I know it sounds thingy when you watch someone you love with your child, it's such an emotional thing.
Yeah.
And it's so lovely. Like, obviously, I've had the baby inside me the whole time. So for him to finally have the baby in front of him, it was, he's been amazing. He sings to him terribly all the time, bless him. And I think it's just lovely. Like, I feel like we're a little family now.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
He said to me today, he was like, Dan, he went, I've got such a bad, I feel like I've got a hangover. I feel like I've got the hangover. I was like, I know.
Well, because he's so
knackered. Is he up in the night with
he's
you?
So yeah. We take turns on the night feeds. I remember going, don't worry, babe, like trying to be like that Stepford wife. Like, I'll do it all. And I'm like, no, babe, we're sharing.
Yeah.
You can get up. You can do the night
Never
feed.
Promise that, you know Dan. I mean? Never promise that, no, ever. Never.
definitely
you
know,
like when you first get from someone and you're like, yeah, I do the cooking, I do the cleaning, I'm that sort of, but I'm like, nah.
Definitely not.
Like, you hear the baby cry and then all of a sudden we lay there and it's like, who's going to get up?
Yeah, who's going to crack first? So obviously you've got a huge online following. How have you found like the comments around motherhood? Because I think, you know, sometimes if someone comments about you, you can take it. But when someone is making a comment about your child or you as a mother, it can be, you know, it can be tough.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can ever experience, like anyone can ever teach you. Like everyone was like, oh, I bet you're used to it, you know, because your dad was in the public eye and stuff. And I was like, no, because it was never me. The comments were never directly to me. And when my dad would get, you know, trolling or anything negative, because it wasn't me, I thought all that stuff was bizarre. So I'm saying to him, it's pathetic what they're saying, but when it's actually you, it hurts. And it, you know what, I've sort of dealt with it. You have your highs and lows in the media, and sometimes it is a lot, you feel like it's a lot worse than what it is. But now in the motherhood thing, you do get messages of women that are just not helpful or not supportive, and they sort of say things and you think, I really don't need to hear that. It's lovely when a woman says, why don't you try this, or my baby had this, maybe he's got that, or but when they're just really rude. I remember putting him in a coat. We'd been on a walk and he's been freezing. Obviously it's nice now, but he was freezing, and I took him on a little walk, and obviously I'm bringing out my prams and stuff, so I thought, oh, he looks lovely in his coat, let me put him in the car seat and I'm going to take a picture in the car seat whilst he was asleep. And I had messages of women like, you're going to make him suffocate, he's going to overheat in the car. God. If you have a car crash, he's not going to be safe, he's not going to be protected if you have a car crash. I'm like, oh my god, like, why are you even saying that to me? Like, chill out. I've had a lot of that.
Yeah.
With the breastfeeding, I had a few messages of women saying, you know, breast is best, you need to feed in that. A lot of women telling me I shouldn't have these vaccinations done. And it's just really difficult because I felt like I had to talk to my best friends who have had babies, because they was like, Dad, no one is a perfect mum. You do what you want to do. It's your baby. You do what you want. There's no book. You can read as many books as you want. It's all what you want to do. And it was nice to hear that, because you do get a bit lost in it and start listening to people that you've never met. Yeah. And I love the fact that it is like a community on Instagram, and women are so supportive and really lovely, and they really put a smile on your face. I get messages and they're like, oh, Dan, you know, keep doing you, you know, hope you're doing well. And they're lovely. But when you're getting negative stuff and you are emotional, it can be a bit tough.
Yeah,
of course it can. I always think this, that for every negative, you might get 10 positive comments, but that one that comes in that's negative about how you're parenting, or a comment about your baby or whatever, that's the one that stays with you. And that's the thing, that people that troll, they don't really see that there's a person behind that message receiving it and taking it in. Like if anyone says it, I think about it, and my husband's like, just forget about it, like don't even take it on board, like think about all the positive stuff. But it's quite tricky to do that.
It's so tricky. And it's even like with like comment sections and stuff, like knowing, I know it sounds singy, but like the Daily Mail and stuff, I try not to ever look at them comments, because I know as soon as I click that button, I'm going to be hurt from something. And it's like, but for some reason, sometimes you want to just see. And I had it obviously just having the baby and stuff, and people were saying, I remember, I don't know, it was probably a man, a couple of like men comments, and I was like, oh, of course, she's huge. Do you know what I mean? Oh, she's huge, God, and stuff like that. And I was like, I've just had a baby, for God's sake. Leave me alone. But I think gradually, hopefully, that soon comment sections like that will just be taken away, just to prevent that. Because it's not nice for anyone, you know?
But I guess as well, you know, it's not even just online. Obviously, we can't go out at the moment, but I think I felt a lot more protective when I was in a restaurant. Even if someone gave me a funny look, if I was bottle feeding, you'd feel protective. And I found that really difficult, sort of comments from other people. And even, just I think you feel a lot more sensitive to things when it's about how you are as a parent.
Like how you're feeding your baby as well. It's mad, isn't it, that we've become like that? I don't know when that happened, though. Because like I said, like with my nan and stuff, that it was just a normal thing for them, feed the baby how you want. But now it's so spoken about on how you should feed your baby.
Ignore them. That's what I say. You just do whatever works for you.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, Danny, tell us about your prams, because you've just told us that you've got your prams coming out. Tell us about that whole collaboration.
Oh, honestly, it feels like it's been going on a lifetime. Obviously, we've been in lockdown for a year now. So it sort of happened when I fell pregnant. My baby, you know, sort of approached me. And I knew they did collaborations with obviously women that I follow, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, I would love to. But it's a lot harder than you think, really, because I'm such a plain person. I want everything plain. And I was like, oh, I want my buggies to be this colour. And I was like, Dan, you can't always do things for you. You need to actually branch out and see what other people would like.
Yeah.
So it did come all together, and what did we like? And it was very back and forth. And, you know, I come up with the name Cherish because I thought, like, cherish every moment. And I use, like, elephants because I love elephants. There's something really calming about an elephant. I don't know why. And animals and animal prints. I feel like babies just look really cute in animal print.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun to do it and create all different designs and stuff. And it was meant to come out a little bit earlier, but obviously with everything going on with COVID and stuff, it took a bit longer. But yeah, I'm really impressed with it all.
And obviously at the moment, all we can do is go out walking in the pram. So what are you, yeah. What do you look for from a pram? Like, are you looking for a pram you can take in the woods? Like what are the prams that that are going to be in your collection?
So I've got all different kind of prams. The prams I'm using at the minute, literally the pram I'm always out with. My mum has got the rose gold marble print. I've got the blue one because my boyfriend's like, no, Danny, he's got to be in blue. He's a boy. And I'm like, but I really like the rose gold. I'll use that one. He's like, no, you're not. But yeah, you can go through the forest in them. We've got one where you can attach from the car seat. So literally if you're going shopping, which hopefully is happening very soon, you can literally take out the car seat, put it on. You know, you've got one where they get a little bit bigger, all different kinds. So it is nice for me, the fact that I've got my own range, and I'm literally always out in that buggy. I'm like, I'm going to need another one. I'm constantly out walking around in this, but it's nice. It's nice for all different ages as well. And one I can take on holiday. Just, you want to keep it easy. Like, cause with me as well, I'm a little bit, at first I was like, I actually need to realize how I can use the car seat. I don't know how to use a car seat.
Oh mate, we're all in the same boat there. Like, how do you click it in? How do you pop them out? You're like spending ages like, ugh.
Yeah.
That's what I've been like literally. But now with the prams as well, even when they turn up, I was like, I need to practice because they're embarrassing. I can't use my own pram when I'm out. It's embarrassing. So I literally have to teach myself things on a daily basis.
Yeah. And you mentioned that, obviously not right now, but you do want to have more children. So that is on the agenda, is it?
Not yet. You know, no. Like some people have babies like 3 months later and then they're pregnant again. Like, oh my God, that's probably incredible for when they're older. But just for me, I really want to enjoy Santi. Like, I really want to just enjoy him and go on the pill. and then in a few years' time, we'll see what happens. Like, Santi's like, well, you know, you go again in 18 months. I'm like, no, chill.
Yeah.
Go again when I'm back.
Just chill, Sammy. Just chill,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, I need a few nights out.
Yeah, I just need a few nights out.
We always love to ask people, like, what piece of advice they would give to another new mum. So what piece of advice would you give to someone who's watching this, who's pregnant, about to have their first child?
Oh, I would literally just say, like, enjoy every single moment. Enjoy the last few weeks of sleep as well. I remember we had sleepless nights pregnant. I'm like, no, get your sleep in. And I'd say also, don't be ashamed to ask for help. I really was like that with my mum. My mum was so helpful, and I started thinking, should she be helping me this much? Like, you know, but I've needed my mum. You know, I really have. And if you've got a friend, either your dad or anyone, you can rely on, then do it. Because even just that 10 minutes of, you know, having someone to talk to as well has been really good for me, like my friend. Because the first week when you've had your baby, you are emotional. I don't feel anyone really teaches you that. But if you talk to someone, you'll end up laughing at the end of it, just that little laugh. And the times we're in now, it has been tough for so many of us. So I would just say, just enjoy it, really out. But just get used to the sleepless night. Or you might have a baby that sleeps 10 till 7. You might be that lucky one.
Yeah, and that does happen. That does happen sometimes, actually. Yeah. You know, every baby is so different. We always talk about the sleepless nights and stuff. And then you've got a mate of yours that's like, well, my baby's sleeping, you know, 4 hours, 5 hours straight. You're like, doing what? Doing what? Sorry.
Sorry, what do you think?
Sorry, what? Danny, before we say goodbye, you're obviously in the mix of kind of the newborn phase. So could you just tell us your five favourite products that are getting you through the early days with Santi?
Okay, so the early days, pyjamas, the button ones, especially when I was using, when I was breastfeeding, that was really good for me. Mamma Mio, that, have you ever used that brand?
Yes.
They are amazing. Oh my God. Like, I never got any stretch marks. I know everyone's different though, aren't they? So I know you can say I recommend a cream, but I do sometimes think it can be jeans or anything like that. But Mamma Mio, their tummy rub oil and their body cream, oh my God, has literally saved me. What else have I been using? Deodorant. because sometimes you can't get up and have a shower. Like, you know, you shower when that baby sleeps. So I would say my deodorant, my face cream. I've been really treating myself over night time to a nice face cream. And what else have I been doing?
Anything for the baby. I love that you've gone deodorant, face cream for myself, yeah, pyjamas.
I'm going to give the baby another five. I would say use Mitchin deodorant because that is the best one.
Oh, it's no, the best the baby, one.
You got me onto that, though.
I've got it. I got to use it. We use it.
I love Mitchum. It's honestly saved me. It really, really has. For the baby, I would say definitely have Vaseline for the baby, for their bum. Really, really good for them, for their face, dry skin. I also use coconut oil for the baby.
We love
coconut oil. It's all fresh and stuff. I was like, can you cook with that? Gross. Would never cook with that. So obviously, you can just... I love it. I cream him all the time. I'm really sad. Like, he hates me. I like put all coconut oil on his body. That's really good. Nappies, 100% need. Have loads of baby grows. I've noticed I needed a lot of them. What else have I used for the baby? Sudocrem, that's really good. Sometimes their bum gets a little bit sore.
What's he sleeping in?
He sleeps in a little snooze pod, but I do like a sleepy head in the day. They are really good. They're like the big sleepy heads. I know they're not recommended to sleep in, but I don't want the trolls on me. But they are really good downstairs when you're looking at them. And also another one, pram nest. That's really good.
What's that?
It's sort of like a sleepy head, but in a pram. He loves it. So when you go out, I'll have to show you. It's like a round little cushion thing. But he also looks like a little sleeping bag. It has been good for him. He literally snuggles up in it. Yeah.
Mate, okay. We have to check that out, though. We don't know about that.
That was loads,
but that's great.
Yeah.
Danny, thank you so much for sitting down with us today. It's been absolutely just wonderful to catch up. And you sound like you're absolutely smashing it. So thank you.
Thank you for having me, girls.
I feel like we could chat all day. Is someone going to bring us a glass of wine?
I know, I'd love one.
See, she's just mega, isn't she? We said that before we got into the chat, that you just fall in love with her when you hear that conversation because of her down-to-earthness and her realness.
Yeah, exactly. She's just facing the same issues that everyone else, you know, has been through, you know, with the sleeping, with the feeding. And it's really interesting as well. I guess it's something we don't talk about so often, is that it isn't actually that easy to formula feed. It's not that straightforward. It's about finding the right milk, finding the right bottles, finding the right teats, working out how to sterilize. There are so many challenges, and it's just nice, you know, it's nice to hear people talking about them. So yes, thank you, Danny.
Yeah, massive
being so
thank
lovely
you
and
to
honest.
Danny. That was a really lovely conversation, and we'll let you know when the chat with Binky is out. As always, we would love you to rate, review, and subscribe or follow the podcast. And if you could tell one of your parent mates that you know is not listening to the podcast, and even if they're just like, oh, I don't know about podcasts, I can't get into them, you just need to like persuade them that it's the way forward.
Yeah, and show them how to find them, because I think sometimes that's the biggest hurdle. They just don't have any idea how to listen. And it's really easy. And once you do, you love them. So there we go. And any suggestions for topics you want us to cover or guests that you think would be interesting, then please do drop us a DM at Made by Mamas, and we'll be back on Friday.
See you then.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.